dresses. Black dresses have been most popular. If you're not going to record anything, there are no mics. If I'm supposed to chair wherever, and the members, look at the members, they don't have a mic, and the mics are off. I'm not to use one with my staff in front of everybody. But today, how can they allow us to come in a committee room which is not yet available? Mics are not working. Committees that can decide to administrate, I suppose when they are granting permission to come in this committee room, they're supposed to come and check everything. Mics are not working. We tried our rally voice to talk about, because today also at 1, at 2, it's supposed to be in the plenum. My apology, Minister, in the leadership of the department, apology to my committee members, our visitors. Today we are lucky, our media has been spared to us. I didn't tell the office when we went for the oversight, when I wanted that thing must be issued by immediately. Somebody, whom I'm not going to mention the name, he said to me, no, the visit is not important. There are things which are important that they are putting out of the media office. And I'm trying to check the one whom I know that she always takes this committee as the committee. Because I've been busy, I didn't take it up that issue. But I have reported to the committee members. Welcome back. We are happy that we are with us again.
PMG.
PMG, yes. We have the ministers, honorable members, those who presented the committee in the awards. I'm sure the office was not doing favor to us, but they invited us, and other members apologized, but we are all there, those who confirmed. We have seen ourselves what the department is doing about sport. As a chairperson individual, I'm not assessing, but we hate it. The event was well organized. Those who can go outside here criticize because there was a technical problem. We had an exam that they were talking about. There was a stage when whoever, FABC, that they are not in that, their things were not working. And those things of themselves, which were not working, the minister and the team, the university, they had to do what is expected was the things were failed. But rather than that, it was what I know. So thank you so much, honorable minister and your team. I do have apologies to the deputy minister, Mr. Mkhobo, Mr. Stoll, Mr. Mbeka, Mr. Shaliza. As a member of this committee, he is no longer even collecting the apologies. I'm suspecting still fighting the delegation of the people wanting to be involved, and we allowed him to go to the relevant office, which is the office of the chairperson. And he went to the PCC, another working. He went to other small parties with to report that person is not hurt, these parties are not represented in that trade which was cancelled. According to the rules of parliament, I can forward the names of the committee, but the house chairperson will take a decision who must go and who must not go. And make this one other error. Because other one person who was part of that list has not attended the committee. And even the one that you are angry, not whose name was the organization, has been not attending the committee meeting. I first looked about Mr. Njaleza, who's always coming even if you apologize. So I'm noting you that a very spent member was vocally and tried to go to his week, and the other week they did come to me. I did tell them that I'm suspecting that unless we can change the rules of parliament, that chairperson must indicate who are regular attending the meeting in order that we must prioritize. But the problem in parliament, the delegation is the majority party and the official majority, and the or official opposition and the rest. So if we can change that, official opposition, they do attend it now and then. But in other small parties, they cannot follow the sequence because some are no longer attending this committee. But maybe the third and fourth party is always attending the committee, but those who are fighting are those who are no longer attending. So I'm suspecting one of the members that those who are speaking in the news committee that yes, they must look at on this thing. With those who welcome the department led by our minister, and thank you, Minister, in the team that invited us to share the same for our friends. On that note, one of the members, the agenda in front of us, can some people propose and recommend it? One of the members.
Good morning, I've told you the agenda was on the cycle of the MCOP. So
Honourable members, I cannot go back because we don't have enough time. Bulelo and Mfundo, you are welcome also in the meeting. Mfundo is the secretary of his study group. That young gentleman, Bulela, she is our executive secretary to me. And thank you so much that you always be with us. To you, Honourable the Minister.
Thank you very much, Chair. I think we always strive to make sure that coming to the Portfolio Committee, unlike other leadership, it is the best thing that we can always do and put all our effort to make sure we present as much information for the committee to understand what we are doing. Thank you very much for the invitation to come to present our second quarter report to the Portfolio Committee. May I start by thanking the support of the Portfolio Committee to the awards, the 13th edition of our Sports Awards. 2018, when we're celebrating excellence, and a woman this year is the sports star of the year and is the people's choice of the year, Ukasta Semenya. She always makes us so proud, We really appreciate that honorable members could also come to see what we do, the success, and we can always also look at how do we improve on some of the things. We are handling some of the shortcomings because our venue, we got it very late. So some of the small challenges that we dealt with had to do with those last minute trying to put together the event. Chair, just as we are coming to present, we just want to say we continue not only to record success in South Africa, but also our participation on regional integration is also something for presenting or putting before the committee that just 2 days before the start of the Africa Investment Conference, we're hosting the AU Sport Region 5. 10 countries of Region 5 were all represented and participating in a 2-day event. And that in itself is something that is greatly appreciated by the African countries. And I may also say, Chair, we have 6 women ministers now in Region 5. The last being the Malawi one, I think, was appointed a day before we started that session. So it's growing Africa. I mean, Region 5 is really demonstrating a commitment to place women in the leadership. So we're excited there. But also the big forum that set, which is the Africa Investment Forum, also gave us an opportunity, a spot to participate, which was quite a great breakthrough to put sport into the mainstream of the economic sector, because as we continue to review our case for sport, we're highlighting the business side of sport, because that's where we think sport can contribute more in a concerted effort to develop entrepreneurs, to create jobs, because it has got that potential, but also understanding its real contribution even into the GDP, so that when honorable members also assist us in getting more budget, it is able to be quantified what its contribution is into the GDP, because often it is thrown into manufacturing at times, it is thrown into construction, but it is not really quantified as construction in sport and every other aspect. So there's much more that sport is contributing on, but it is not really quantified, and therefore gives us the clout that we are. As we are presenting this second quarter report, Chair, we are, the DG will be taking the committee through the details, but we are confident that as we present it, that come the fourth quarter, we'll meet our target in the process that we continue to see see as to how it alignment ultimately can happen. It continues to be a challenge in that most of our expenditure happens in the third quarter of the year due to some of the alignment in terms of where our money goes. But the DG will talk to that. But if we look into comparing the performance up to now, it looks better than what it was in the last year at the same period. And some of the issues that we continue to deal with as we look into some of the your compliance matters around where we make our transfers and ensuring that we have bodies that really are able to work accordingly. We are now at a stage where I think Chair, you will indicate, for instance, as you are saying, you are contemplating that we come back for the presentation on the bill, that perhaps also will be able to indicate how soon can we also brief the committee on the outcomes of the SASCOC report, because it is at those stages where we think we'll be able to release it soon. And may we also indicate, Chair, that in the next week we will be going to Singapore. We have looked into the submission of Netball SA. They wish to bid for 2023 World Cup. And looking at it, as you may know, that often when you talk World Cup, our mind goes to 2010 and how expensive 2010 was. But because with netball, it's not that big. We have looked into even what we can afford in terms of how far it has gone and putting together the papers together with them. We think as the department gradually up to that stage would have met the requirements in terms of the part of support that we were supposed to support them with. So we'll be bidding for this World Cup, and for us, we're looking at this as our reaffirmation of the position of women in sport in our country. So I think the actual date is the 26th of the actual bid. So we'll be going there to meet that day. And we're finalizing our women in sport policy that we hope we can also find time before December to brief the committee, because we hope by December we'll be having our final draft of that. And at the same time, after briefing the committee, we would wish to have our provincial roadshows. Hopefully members would join us in those so that we can consult it, wanted to do it in terms of the consultation across codes, so that also codes learn to work together, they can share best practices, we can look into having a policy that would not favor only one code, but across and deal with matters as they affect the bill. We are very excited, Chair, that you are saying we will also be able to bring before yourselves the bill, because critical for us with the bill is that we still are very stuck in terms of the processes as it goes towards that inquiry we talked about beginning of the year. In the latest sitting that we had at political level, because the president, after us requesting for a judicial inquiry, had since sent the matter to the Department of Justice and Constitutional Development. So there, it's very clear there are certain things that were not carried out in terms of regulation since the 2010 Sport and Recreation Act. So it continues to be a thorn between what, for instance, your Department of Police feel that it's an act that was imposed and not consulted, and therefore they are required to make regulations that would have prevented the saga in the two incidents. So there are no regulations coming from that side, which has made it very difficult for holding them accountable. So we're still pursuing in that level. So coming up with this bill and the consultation thing, it will also help in taking the matters forward around consultation of the stakeholders, in making sure that they will also come up to the party. But it is not something that begins to say, if they say they were not consulted, it's like the law did not exist. Because it has been there, it is a law that was signed. Chair, we also are looking forward to two other major events, as final one, which is also a reflection in terms of our performance and programs that we have to do. We're looking forward to the National Youth Camps and the National School Sport Championships. These are the two major projects that will be taking place up to our December this year, and hope to see honorable members, to see also our young people participating. Chair, I will then allow the DG to talk to the programs. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Honorable Minister. As you are aware that tomorrow our committee is going to have an advantage of presenting, but the unfortunate part of it, were given only 2 minutes. You know, this briefing that you are giving us, we suppose even in the House that we must highlight the success that we are doing as this committee through all what we are saying. But in that, we need also to put the gaps, as you know that this inquiry, it did come through what the committee and your good selves, we have seen that we have gaps in some areas, not only from us and within, as you are saying, the police, but I'm suspecting after this, DG, my whip, I will try on behalf of the committee to craft a 2-minute statement in order that we must reflect everything which is very important, even if honorable members were not yet briefed officially, will highlight the achievement of this bill which you are going to be getting a briefing. Those who are not in the committee, they've missed something that we are going to put as one of our achievements. But as I'm saying that, the whip, myself, and maybe even DG, a sort of a study group, that I must not reflect what we want to say tomorrow to our study group. But study group is not a secret. If we can have a few minutes after the adjournment. Thank you. Thank you, DG. Upon you. Thank you, Honorable Minister. We have said a mouthful. And DG.
Thank you, Honorable Chair, Minister, and honorable members of the Portfolio Committee. The report we are presenting is a second quarter report, and it will cover and as well as indicate the performance on a cumulative basis, which will be performance that includes quarter one that you would see under the column cumulative, and also indicate and be forward-looking by looking at the other column that shows the target for the third quarter, and specifically looking at only those targets and achievements that happened in the second quarter. So the important thing to mention, though, is that as Minister indicated, we are confident that by financial year end we would have met all the targets that are there, and on a cumulative basis we would be able to accumulate some. The sector indicators are those indicators that we share with provinces, and we rely on the provinces largely to be able to deliver with the grant we give them and to submit their evidence, a portfolio of evidence to us to indicate achievement. So, Chair, if you allow me, I will not touch on the targets that we have met and achieved. I would leave them because the committee is quite familiar with our annual performance plan, and it knows what we have aimed to achieve in all the quarters as we have indicated it in that plan. What I will focus on is on those that we have not achieved in quarter two, and to also indicate the remedial steps what we are doing to ensure that we achieve those targets, as well as to look specifically at the reasons why those have not been achieved. So as a start, Chair, with your permission, we can move to program one, being administration. And there, the first target that we have not met is a target around the payment of invoices. We are required to pay all invoices without fail within 30 days. Now, in quarter two, we did not achieve that target. We paid a total of 708 invoices. 707 were paid within 30 days, and just one invoice was not paid within the 30-day period. It was paid actually on day 36. So the reason for this is that we had to settle a dispute with the supplier, and the matter had gone to our audit committee. It was discussed, and the audit committee once again asked our internal audit to review our processes and whether they are right, and the audit committee was satisfied that indeed the system we use for purposes of payment of invoices is working. And where we have disputes of this nature, often it's unavoidable to resolve the dispute within the allocated 30 days, particularly when both parties feel strongly about where they stand on the matter. So as it will be cumulatively, I think members would be aware that even when the Auditor General came to brief the committee, he did not raise this as a concern, and he had also commended the department on our payment of invoices within the required 30 days. And members would also remember that the annual average for all invoices we paid in the last financial year was 14.2 days. So we are relatively doing okay with this point, and we will strive to always pay all the invoices within 30 days. And once in a while, there is an odd one where we have not managed to resolve the disputes on time. If we move to program two, being active nation, the first target we have not met is in indicator 2.2. This is a sector indicator. This is what we share with the provinces. This speaks to the number of people actively participating in recreation promotion campaigns and events in a year. And the target for quarter two was 1,000, and the provinces have reported that on the UNITE campaign, they managed to achieve 645 of the 1,000. The target now for the third quarter, in the period at which we have major events for mass participation, is 40,864 of the potential 42,864. So it is for this reason that we are saying that we are a bit confident that we will achieve the annual target, primarily because cumulatively we were already at 3,202, considering that in quarter one, provinces had done quite well to slightly exceed their target. So it should be easier to make for the shortfall in terms of the participants. More so that our youth camps are still going to happen, and the big walk and the National Recreation Day has taken place across provinces in quarter three. So we are confident that by financial year end we will be able to achieve that. Again, in program two, Active Nation, Chair, the other target we have not achieved here is on the number of participants in sport promotion campaigns. And as you would note there, the target for quarter two was 1,836, and we have managed to achieve 538 of that. Cumulatively, we are sitting at 1,622 with the two quarters added together. And you'll also note that the target for quarter three is 1,364 of potentially 5,136. Considering that now the rural sport development program, the outstanding provinces that didn't go to provincials in the second quarter have now gone, those numbers will certainly improve. We are currently auditing the September information and verifying it, and we are confident that that will improve. Again, you would know that in that target, we too as National Department also contributes towards it. The ministerial outreach program is in there, and the minister has agreed to heighten the program of interaction with communities, and in this regard, the number would increase. And as you can see, with the ministerial outreaches we have had this far, we have verified 1,936 just from one program, the ministerial program. If minister doubles those efforts, we would be able to achieve the annual target with ease, together with the September information we are still verifying. If we now move to Chair Program 2 again, under the Provincial Sports Support and Coordination, and these are those that are funded through the grant, you would note that the biggest indicator we have is that one that speaks to the number of people participating in organized sport and recreation activities. The annual target is at 600,000. Quarter two target was 200,000, and we had managed to seat at 106 of that. That tells you immediately that in quarter one, we were sitting pretty with about 110 of that. So cumulatively, we are sitting at 216. The third quarter target is 200,000. We are not too worried about that, primarily because the bulk of the major activities happen in the third quarter. And that's where big numbers come in. They will compensate for, because this was just evenly distributed at 200,000 per quarter for four quarters to bring it closer to the 600, except in the last quarter. So if you look at it with the numbers that will come in for third quarter, we think we will be able to achieve and perhaps surpass that 600,000 number. Next target there is the number of learners participating at school sport tournaments at a district level. And the districts, some provinces have struggled, like Northwest, with those, but certainly now most of the provinces have gone. We still have two that were finalizing their district tournaments in preparation for the summer championships. So in the second quarter, we were anticipating 15,000, but we sat with about 10,655, and with the provinces that finish off their districts in the third quarter, we will make up the shortfall that we're supposed to achieve in the second quarter. The target for the third quarter is 15,000, but we know we are likely going to exceed that because the provincial tournaments would take place during that third quarter, as well as the school sport national championship that the minister has indicated that we need to deal with. When it comes to indicator 2.10, being the number of schools, hubs, and clubs that are provided with equipment and attire, in the second quarter, the target was 250 of this across provinces, and provinces have managed to distribute to 80. Herein lies the story of the portfolio of evidence, because on the finance side, we are seeing that the provinces are actually spending the money, and we are also seeing that they are buying the equipment and attire. But we are also seeing that they are paying their courier companies to deliver the attire and equipment to schools. But the portfolio of evidence in terms of the delivery note signed by the principal to show that they have actually received that is suspect, is not coming forth. And when that doesn't happen, we don't count what the provinces claim. If you look at how much they claim that they have delivered to schools, but you compare that with the portfolio of evidence before us, there's a gross disjuncture between that. And we can only verify what we have the portfolio of evidence for, which will meet the master of the Auditor General standards. And if any other thing we have, at Limba and HOD, simply to say, I've given 230 schools of equipment and attire is not enough. It has to be backed up by this evidence we require, and I think there has been a delay in verification. Most of some provinces have also, during October, together with us, undertaken major events. We think that in the distribution of the equipment and attire to the hubs, we will see an improvement in the numbers when the time comes. The target for quarter three was 1,000, and when the numbers are verified and audited, we will get to know where we are. Now, on the number of SLAs that are signed with academies of sport, our target for the third quarter was 10. We achieved only 3, as Limpopo, Western Cape and Eastern Cape are the ones that managed to sign up. We are still working with other provinces to get the district academies to have their SLAs. But importantly, we also want proof in terms of the indicator descriptors who are required to also source proof, not just for the SLA to be signed, but also proof that the actual athletes have been supported at this academies of sport. And an area we have struggled with information with in the past, but with the improvement in provision of the forms and the standardization of the SLAs, as well as the forms that needs to be signed by the athletes that receive support, we think that it will be better this year, and we will get more information. Last year we achieved this target, but we achieved it in the last week of the audit. All the information came in. In fact, the information from Limpopo and the Free State arrived on the last day of audit, when audit was closing. So we are confident, though, that this year it will be better. We'll receive the information earlier, and we'll be able to achieve all of that. In the first quarter, just as an interest in Winning Nation Program 3, members should remember that in the first quarter, on the number of major events that were supported, that in first quarter was not achieved. We actually had one, and we had promised that we will achieve the cumulative target, and that by the third quarter we would be reporting to you that we have achieved all of this. And indeed, as you can see there, we have since supported all those other events in terms of the calendar, and we have achieved. So when we do say that we will cumulatively achieve those targets, we actually get down to it and work on them to achieve them. In program four, sport support, you would see on the number of recreation bodies supported, by quarter two we're supposed to support 10. We managed to support 3, Sports for Social Change Network, SASCOC and Love Life, as the ones we have paid. But you would see that of the 60, the huge target being 49 is actually located in quarter three. And the reason for that is that the financial year of government is not aligned with the financial year of most of the sport federations. Some of them get to go to their AGMs in June. So their financial year is June to July. And so they go there by the end of June, and then only then they adopt the annual financial statements, and they pass resolution, they elect new leadership, and they are able to submit the approved reports to us, and only then we are able to pay them. So the bulk of them, we pay them in the third quarter, and the remainder you would see, we pay them in February and some in March, because they go to their AGMs in December. So this system, we are working with it with the AG to try correct, primarily for those that they are even worse, we are paying them in say March. The financial year, we pay them like on the 15th of March, and the financial year is ending actually on the 31st of March. And then of immediate, we have to apply for a rollover for them to be able to keep the money. So, and that we want to change, but it involves two processes. First, the smaller federations, we are compelling all of them to change their financial years to be linked to government. But the big ones remain a problem, like rugby, cricket and all of that, because government funding to them in some federations, like in rugby, our budget to them is 1.3% of their annual budget, And if they are to change the entire financial cycle just for 1.3%, in fact, Rugby was of the opinion that you rather keep the money, you know. But so we are suggesting to them that we work out other motions, because there will be the gap months, like for federations now that have to realign. If your financial year was ending in June and now you want it to end at the end of March, you have a gap of 3 months that year in terms of what you do with your books. So that has not been easy for most federations to switch, but we are giving them time to account for that, and we are asking the Auditor General to allow that there will be a gap period of 3 months in which there are no financial statements, and that should still be allowed, that they can spend and they can still account for the money, despite the fact that that gap 3 months would not be included in the books. So we always achieve 100% of expenditure in this area, so we will almost fund all. The current minister has said to us that we shouldn't celebrate when federations don't actually meet their targets, and they don't. We should actually help them achieve. And so we are now dispatching managers to these struggling federations to help them. We even assist others to host their own AGM so that they are compliant, and that we pay as many as is possible. But equally, even the Treasury now has accepted that those federations that don't meet their targets, like last year it was basketball alone. So when it doesn't, we must find other ways in which either we reallocate to another federation, or alternatively, as we did last year, we gave the money to SASCOP to administer the grant on their behalf. If we move to Program 5, the only target in Program 5 we have not achieved there is indicator 5.1. As you may see, in quarter 2 we were supposed to finish 3 outdoor gyms. They are still under construction, they are not done, and we were not happy at the time the QSRM has met with the report of our engineer, particularly on the one was completely done except that the sloping and the compaction of the soil was not done. So we said that must be done first before we actually can accept that it is complete. So some will still be corrected, but we are confident that cumulatively at the end of the financial year we would have achieved all 10 that needs to be built. I think that's where we are. Chair, and I can hand over to the CFO to deal with the financial section of the report.
Thank you, DG. CFO.
Thanks, Chairperson. Minister DG, honorable members. This is the report as at the 30th of September, which is the second quarter. By the end of the second quarter, we're at 627.6 million. Which represent 42.5%. In the first quarter, in the first quarter when we presented, we're at 74.1 million, which is about 6.8%. So there's been a drastic improvement from the first quarter to the second quarter. In terms of compensation of employees, we're at 45%, which is about 50.2 million. Meaning that if you were to take it straight line, arithmetic straight line, we are supposed to be at about 50%. So we've moved. In the first quarter, we're at 21.3%, which is about 23.8 million. So there's been some improvement. We are still going to fill in some vacant posts, which we've advertised shortly. The panels have been appointed. Shortlisting will be happening very soon. In terms of expenditure on goods and services, we are at 42%, which is about 70.2 million out of a budget of 167 million. In the first quarter, we had 31.3, which was about 18.7%. So there's also been some movement. We're still expecting that the expenditure will improve in the third and the fourth quarter, where we'll be implementing projects like the Big Walk, National Recreation Day, Indigenous Games, and the National Youth Camp, school sport, and the awards which were recently held. In terms of transfer of payments, we are at 42.2%, which is 341.8 million out of a budget of 809.8. There are still issues there with three provinces that have been penalized. But what is good is that if they are not remedying the situation, we are going to reallocate the money to other provinces, which is Eastern Cape, Limpopo, and Mpumalanga. In the first quarter, when we came here, we've not done any transfer to any province. We're at 18.6 million, which is 2.3. So the report that we are presenting shows that we've made two transfers. We made the transfer for the first quarter and the second quarter. That's why we've been able to pay that amount of 341.8 million. NPIs, we are going to transfer money to sports bodies, the federations in the third and the fourth quarter. It's the issue of the alignments of the financial year. Payment for capital asset, 42.5, which is about 1 million out of a budget of 2.4 million. We don't have a lot of money under capital assets. In terms of overall departmental summary, like I said, we've spent 42.5% out of a budget of 1090, just over a billion. We had an expenditure of 463.2 million. We are left with 627.5. Compensation of employees, there's a budget of 111.5 million. We've made expenditure, there's expenditure of 50.1 million. We are left with 61.3. Goods and services, 167 million. There's expenditure of 70.1. We are left with 96.8, which is 42% transfers. There's a budget of 809.8. There's expenditure of 341.8. We are left with 467.9. When we move to program one administration, there was expenditure of 44.8%, which is 63.7 out of a budget of 142.3. We are left with 78.5. The only issue that we would want to bring to the attention of the committee is that under transfers, we still need to transfer that 92,000 to CAFSITA. Hence, there's zero expenditure there, again, that line item. Compensation of employees, there's 44.9%, which is 36.2. Out of a budget of 18.6, we are left with 44.3. Goods and services, 44.7, which is expenditure of 26.5. Out of a budget of 59.2, we are left with 32.7. Capital asset, there's a budget of 2.3. We spent 1 million, we are left with 1.3. 42.5%. When we move to program two, Active Nation, the overall percentage of the program is 48.2. We've spent 335.8 million out of a budget of 696.7. We are left with 360.9. Compensation of employees, 60.6%. We've got a budget of 8.3, we've spent about 5 million goods and services. We are left with 37.4 million. We've made expenditure of 20.8 out of budget of 58.2, which is 35.8%. Province and municipalities, we've made payments of 288.2. We are left with 299.1, which is 49.1% out of budget of 587. Here we are supposed to have paid 50%, so the 0.9% is the penalties to those three provinces that I spoke to. In terms of goods and services, we are saying the expenditure will increase during the third and the fourth quarter when we are paying the Big Walk, the National Recreation Day, and the Indigenous Games out of this program. When we move to Program 3, Winning Nation, the program had spent 45.8, which is 36.5. Out of a budget of 79.7, we are left with 43.2. Compensation of employees, there's 3.6, expenditure 1.7, available budget left 1.9, which is 47.7%. goods and services 34.6, expenditure was 11.1, we're left with 23.5, which is 32%. Here we still need to make bursary claims. Those are ministerial spot bursaries. They've not yet been paid because of two reasons. The first reason being that we've not received invoices from those schools that those learners attend, or where there was a less than the maximum amount of 100,000 per learner, meaning that if we would budget 100,000 but we would receive an invoice of 80,000 rand, so there's that savings of about 20,000 rand as an example. We are also paying the spot awards from this program, so it has recently been held. We are going to make the we've made the payment of sales in the third quarter, meaning that by the second quarter we would have made only the 50%. When we move to program 4, sports support, compensation of employees, there's 13.7 million budget. We've spent 5.3. Available budget left is 8.3, which is 39.2%. The goods and services, we had a budget of 6.3. We've spent 9.5, meaning that we've overspent with 3.2 million. That over expenditure is due to the misallocation that we did. We're supposed to spend this money on program three. So we spent it on program two. But it was due to BRICS games, which were held. So what we did is that we are supposed to via the expenditure from program four to program three, and some amounts would be left on program four. But it's not an issue. What we've done is that we've written to Treasury to help us with the vayment process so that we're able to address this anomaly. In terms of transfer to Federation, we've got 125.8 million. We've only made payments of 2.1. We're left with 123.7, which is 1.7. Here, we are receiving documents from Federation so that we're able to make those payments to all those federations, which is happening mostly on the third and the fourth quarter. In terms of program five, our smallest program, we've got budget of 13.7, expenditure is 3.9, we are left with 9.8, which is 28.7%. Compensation of employees 5.2. Expenditure is 1.8, we are left with 3.4, which is 34.5. Goods and services 8.5, expenditure 2.1, available budget 6.3. So in short, Chair, that's where we are. We are where we are supposed to be in terms of our expenditure. We are usually here in the second quarter. Our expenditure has improved from the first to the second quarter, as I've demonstrated when we started. The concerns is the issue that is compensation of employees at 5%, which we're addressing with the filling of those vacant posts now. The other issue that I spoke to is the issue on program four, where we've requested Treasury to via those amounts in order for us to balance those accounts. So in short, that's where we are, Chair. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Chair, on program four, sports support, there is an over expenditure in goods and services on the current payments. We are spending more, about 150% on that, and that's what the CFO has explained. But this is due to the BRICS Games project that we undertook. We did budget for the project. We budgeted for it under Active Nation, not Sports Support. Because initially we had thought that with the BRICS Games we would have our own build up activities and a mass participation program, and then ultimately divide that way. But however, when we were discussing with the embassies of the BRICS countries and on the format of the tournament, that changed. Then appeared that we must get established teams like the girls football under 19. We had to get the senior team for volleyball as well as the senior team women's volleyball teams to participate. There was even an effort to try and get netball teams to also participate in this, but ultimately other countries have a few. I think it was only ourselves and Brazil that were intending to fill the team, and we dropped the netball. So with it, when the format changed, it was no longer a mass participation event, and it now meant we had to pay for it under a separate program. Money was available in this program for this, and yet we are paying from the program which had not budgeted for it. So in one area we are underspending because money is there, and in another area we are overspending because the money was elsewhere. So as a result of that, we wanted to get Treasury to assist us to move funding from the one program to the other. But I'm sure you know the rules of Parliament in terms of appropriation with respect of that. Once you reach above the 8% mark, you need parliamentary approval. Now what we have done is that we have since experienced some savings in the same program, Sport Support, which in essence in two program areas. First in the AU Sports Council Region 5 Council meeting that we were hosting, we had budgeted and we had some savings. And also in the delivery of the regional annual sport awards, we have experienced some savings there. So that will at least mitigate with us to take the percentages down. The remainder of it, we would still need to work with the Treasury for its viability. But essentially, we think that we should be okay with time. And we will now do it as an administrative process with the Treasury of shifting of funds from one program to the other. I think that's the explanation.
Thank you, DG. You have clarified one of my questions, but let me give the members. We are welcoming you, Honorable Bergman. I did get once I've already pronounced the apologies that you were, your flight was delayed. So now this is the time for discussion. You have missed the briefing of, from the minister. Maybe we need to be part tomorrow. We're going to debate. Due respect, honorable members, the minister told us about the bill that is in front of us, and they are agreeing that next week they will be coming to present the briefing, and also the briefing is ready of SASCOC. I wanted to repeat those things because for a debate for tomorrow we need to be there, and at least you always come in time in the meeting, so of course we'll be reflecting on those things. And she also told us that we were blessed as Sports and Recreation, that they were part of Africa Investment Forum. So those things are very important to us as a committee. And then she did report to us about that judiciary inquiry of that incident. So I'm saying I must, as a chairperson, to brief you in order that when we're reflecting on those things, you may not surprise because of the problem that we were having. Honorable members, this is time for discussions, clarity, input, and questions. Thank you so much. Honorable Bergman, Honorable Mosi, Honorable Bev, Honorable Renholm on that one.
Chair, thanks very much, and I'm sorry that I did miss the minister's briefing. Unfortunately, or fortunately, tomorrow, my colleague who's sick at the moment will probably be the member in the debate. So I suppose he reserves the right to still say whatever he wants to say. I must say that with the sports awards, I really do thank everyone for the invitation again. You know, it's often hard to go to an event, enjoy an event, and then have to come here and then question it or ask questions around it. But of course, that's the job we have to do. In this instance, you've mentioned it in your finances that you've had to pay for this year's sports awards. I'm just interested to know how much we've had to fork out for it from our side. I remember the old minister Mbalula used to talk about most of it was sponsored in the past. So I'm just interested in the breakdown between what we pay and how much sponsors pay. I know that the TV rights is always an important part of it, and that SABC is a big partner in the sports awards. I often believe that SABC has the biggest reach, and we don't use our national broadcaster enough in many of the sports that we have. I'm sad to see that there's a underspending again from the municipalities and the provinces. Sorry, DG, I need you both to hear because I'm asking you the question, not the minister, through you, Chair. I see that there's a lot of underspending between the municipalities and the provinces, and often we get told, yes, it's because they're still in the third quarter, so they've still got till the end of the fourth quarter, so you're not worried, you're not stressed at this situation. Is that still your belief and feelings that we will still see that on the fourth quarter we can all breathe a sigh of relief and we can all bring out the champagne and crack it? I still believe that there's going to be some provinces that require attention, and if we can highlight maybe the three worst provinces, and I hate saying worst, maybe the three undercapacitated provinces that might struggle to spend their MIGS or DORA grants from these subsidies, that we maybe need to keep an eye on, and if need be, summons them to Parliament to ask them what they require to move on their grants. Thirdly, the National School Championships. I hope that we haven't missed them. Please just the date and the venue of when that's going to happen. Has the monies for that event already been taken off from the financials? The second one is, the fourth one, you've mentioned that people, the provinces, certain federations haven't complied, and which led to an underspending in that regard. I'm interested to know which federations have not complied, and I'm interested to know what their penalties are, or what we do with the rest, with that money that is then becomes underspent. What do we do with those monies? And then the fifth one, I do notice, and I heard a little bit from the presentation, that in terms of employment, you already are training a lot of people, but that there's still a lot of vacancies. Now, in a time where we've got the budget for the staff members, and we're already underspending on staff members, and unemployment is already high, remember I spoke about an audit, Chair, where we spoke about looking at skill audits, what we really need, what we don't have, you know, where the skills are missing. Have we identified any critical positions that are not filled at this stage? Or have you filled any of the critical positions in the last year? And again, is this something that has to be put on the radar, that maybe we need to look at where we can, you know, that critical position is filled? Thanks very much.
No, thank you very much, Chairperson. I don't have many questions. I just wanna check with
the needs for Agra.
Yeah. the right chair, just the top part of it is it's not working. Debug. No. Okay. And I'll ask the big man to hold it for me. Okay. No. I wanted to check Chairperson as when the youth camps would be held, and then and then check as to whether, you know, there would be an invitation in the same way that you know, we got an invitation to the sports award, which I think one has to commend the organizing team, the DG, the minister, the CFO, you know, my brother, that he was of the done by you and your team. Thank you for that. It was wonderful, except just for, you know, minor two, three things of some people who, you know, come to the stage and not seem to know what they were doing, you know, what they should do. It looks like at a certain point people were not, you know, thoroughly prepared that you are going to do one, two, three. I think I've seen about three, four, five, about two or three incidents of such nature. But otherwise, it was perfect. It was wonderful. I actually enjoyed it. Chairperson, lastly, to direct it to the DG, on the part of recreation, do we actually do enough as part of what you do as sports? You know, I was like wondering. I was like watching the Idols yesterday. I don't know as to whether a lot of you do watch, but I do watch them, and I happen to see wonderful things that a young man from a less known town, the Postmansberg, in the Northern Cape. It's a dark, very small town, and that young man has made it up to the final. Thato Makabe is with a young lady. I think Mfundo she's from Cape Town, younger. It looks like I'm the only person who's watching Idols.
Why do you think so?
The opposite should be happening, because I should not be watching. You should be watching.
Honorable Musa, why do you think so? Who did give you that information that is only you? Don't answer. No, don't answer.
No, I won't answer.
You're wrong.
I'm looking at the young men. I'm looking especially at young people, you know. They should be, you know, like, no, this is that.
but you didn't ask them to respond whether they do.
Oh, okay. but that was just to
yes.
Check whether what is it that, you know, that we do. That would show that we support recreation. I'm really impressed, and would actually urge the committee to go and support that Thato Makabe. He's from the Northern Cape. I'm from the Northwest. I don't know him. I'm from the Northwest. But I just want to support him, and let us support, you know, smaller towns of our country. It should not always be Johannesburg, Cape Town, Durban, Port Elizabeth. They are smaller towns. Let us support the Thato Makabe. And thank you very much, Chair.
Thank you, Honorable Musa. Honorable Bev.
Thank you. Is this one working, Chairperson? Is this thing working? Thank you. Thank you, Honorable Chairperson and the Minister. Thank you very much for the briefing. And let me also align with my colleagues. Spectacular event. Thank you very much. We enjoyed ourselves. Minister looked outstanding. Didn't recognize Minister. She inspired me. I'm also going to look the same tomorrow. And thank you very much, DG. Yes, I also want to, DG, the one out of 708 invoices, it's a pity about the dispute, and you're right, the AG also didn't mention that, but you know, to get 99.whatever%, wasn't there anything in between that could have been done to get the dispute sorted out quicker? Because when I always hear you do your presentations, I can hear that your, I should maybe ask and not say I can hear, your monitoring and evaluation system, invoice system is working. And I think that system should actually be going through other departments so they can align themselves with the M&E system, DG. Then also on the federations, very well dispatching the managers to assist. I think that is a real Ubuntu, helping one another. If you see something's not working, what do you do to help other people instead of letting them them flop? But are there any skills development taking place within that when the managers go out and assist? And if yes, is the skills development working? Because I think in previous years we heard how the federations are struggling and they can't account. Also the provinces, you know, to just assist them to spend what needs to be spent, but in an orderly manner to get a clean audit. Then Minister, I'm sure Chairperson, myself, and some of us at the my husband told me the other day, we're getting old. We still talk about netball playing, it's in the heart. But I wish you well with the bidding in Singapore. And I'm sure by then we'll be big goggles, Chairperson. We'll be watching it, but we won't be able to participate. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Beth. Honorable Ndlovu.
Thank you,
join my colleagues that have welcomed the presentation or the briefing made by the chairperson, by the minister and the DG. Now, out of curiosity, I've developed this concern on under program 4, sports support. I see under goods and services, there is an escalation in terms of the expenditure. Now, for my own benefit, you might assist me. I want us just to get as to whether was there any measures for the escalation considered, or what are the prescripts of the policy and the PFMA that you have considered. To cite an example, I usually hear people talk about the environment. Is environment one of the measures that you have considered? Or did you seek for permission to your authorities? Something like that. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, Honorable Ndlovu. Honorable Barakom.
Thank you, Chair. I also appreciate the presentation. Well, I've been making this point, but now I've come to accept it that we won't meet targets per quarter, strictly speaking. But I appreciate that now we now look at them also accumulatively, which means that if you have not met a particular target, the next quarter, then your targets are going to increase, which assists, of course. And I've seen that, except the point that of over expenditure on quarter four, on program four rather, that the spending is more or less the same with your targets. A quarter so far. So I'm happy just that we'll just have to look at them broadly, accumulatively as well. my worry is just around the BSA. We'll just have to ensure that we also ensure that we interact with them more regularly, given the challenges that we have experienced. I know that you also do main oversight as the department. So it is either you might have to indicate, because we were a little bit of caught off guard, you know, by their repeat deterioration to such an extent that I felt that we might have to ensure that when you come per quota, also we must become specific in terms of questioning their performance. The third area is this litigation thing that I've seen in some of your briefing notes, that you are going to be part of that solidarity and another busy sorrow. If you can just give us more details, because I saw that very soon we might see it in the newspapers. Well, the fourth area, well, we welcome that at least this bill that we've been waiting for, particularly the bill that will empower the minister, has now reached us. But I must say that it is quite late, because we are left with 2 weeks now for this quarter. And the next year, as you all know, it's elections, and it's going to be very, very tough elections. But I do agree that it will be useful that you brief us. The other complications is going to be the fact that it's a 76, which means the NCOP are going to run on it. And I know that they had raised this thing, that they are not going to accept any bill late as well. My last point really is the three provinces that did not perform, Eastern Cape, Limpopo, and Mpumalanga. Did I understand well that you are saying, did I understand that you were saying that part of their performance includes them not paying their federations, or us not paying federations? Then that's fine. But I'm worried because I may be, because I think to a certain extent I still want to see a situation where we have really given sanction to any province if the province that has not performed in a particular quarter, and give provinces that are performing, because we have not done so before. So I still want to see us doing that. Maybe it will ensure that the provinces perform as they should. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Honorable Mr. Rehoma. Yes, I must again officially thank the department about the invitation. Sometimes if we are not there and see what is going on, it's worse. Some people, they can think that is not an oversight. We have seen what is happening, and we do understand that we can even advise when we've seen the gaps on the event. Maybe let me not tell. There is something that I've noticed, and there are some guests which I was thinking that if the organizers, they were aware of what happened, they are going to correct, but I'll try to tell the officials on improvement of one other thing, which I know. And I'm also worried really about this thing of these provinces. You know, if you can look, I don't know about Mpumalanga, the rate of poverty, but I know about Eastern Cape and Limpopo that we can have, but it's not acceptable even if it's Mpumalanga, about the what is written here, that they were penalized, and now penalties are going, those monies are going to taken to other provinces. They will be benefiting, but they will suffer the rest on these provinces, really. But I'm suspecting the department cannot do otherwise, because they did come to this decision of penalties, because they cannot just relax. Also, I wanted to check in these other programs that you're still having such big percentages. Maybe we're hoping that we are going to meet the targets of e-financial year. As you all know, that by e-financial year, we suppose really this clean audit must continue like that, hoping that we are going to overcome whatever problems that are still there. Because if Udiji didn't explain this 150 exceeding of EU budget, and maybe this environmental process, I was still going to ask that, but he was clever enough, knowing that we cannot just let it that go without us asking. Mm-hmm. So at least you were knowing us, because this is our department and we're doing a really oversight on it. We cannot just accept other things without explanation. But also I must advise the office that now you are depending to our colleagues, the second house, on this bill, and I'm hoping that the programming of the whole quarter or of all the year is already adopted by both houses. So we are advising that when the cycle UDG knows, no minister, but when you presented the bill to our good selves, the next step, suppose, especially for Section 76, to go to the NCOP. So I'm hoping that by the virtue that the bill is in front of Parliament, we are wanting to squeeze that you must come next week, in order that when you are going to NCOP, they will going to look at their program, but also they don't decide alone. They will supposed to go back to the programming, as we're aware that we have been told that bills which are not yet with the Parliament, the time has expired. But because this is one of those bills that, if as Honorable Musi, we are all sport men and women, we were watching even the last match, that incident nearly happened again. And if as a department we can make
motivation, because I'm suspecting it's one of our achievements as this committee through UMinisu. If we can make an appeal and motivation, you did see this that player of Sundowns or that spectator that nearly caused the very same problem. So if maybe we can try to motivate whilst the, since I was in the NCOP and coming here, the house, the chairperson, all the chairperson of NCOP, they've been cautioning the NA of coming and ask the permission that they must try to put away the decisions that they are taking. But by the virtue that I've seen that God, there comes another incident. So the motivations through the leaders of parliament, maybe this bill, even if it's next year, it must be one of those bills that it must be squeezed. But I'm suspecting, as this committee, we have indicated very earlier that if it's not yet tabled, we'll be having a problem. But as you know, that amongst our achievements as a department and committee is that 300 million, which the when we are talking about this infrastructure, it's one of our achievements. We wanted to achieve even this one again, let alone the other achievements that we must assist our department as they're having an interest on this, and hoping that really, Minister, we are going with our wishes that even if we're getting older, even if we're not going to come to Parliament as a fully fledged committee, we'll always love and support sport, and would love to see netball hosting through our government, through you, Minister, that we must get that. We were disappointed for the rugby because it started when we started all what is happening international about this thing of economy. We're hoping that we'll be getting them to come and play here. So hoping that for the first time that a sport of women that can host will be happy as this committee. To you, DG, I thank you. But maybe if Minister first and then DG, I don't know the sequence.
Thank you, Chair. Chair, let me start first with the easier questions. Honorable Bergman, the National School Sport Championship is still coming. It's scheduled to take place from the 9th until the 14th of December in Johannesburg. It's being hosted at both the University of Johannesburg and Perth University. So that's still coming. And Honorable Musi, the youth camps also are still coming. They are taking place from the 3rd until the 8th of December this year. And they are all in 9 provinces, and each province has a venue. We can communicate the list of all the venues across all provinces and provide them to you. On the issue of expenditure by provinces, Honorable Bergman, yes, we are still exactly there. We are confident that we would have spent all the money. And fortunately, this year, we won't have to be forced to surrender anything back to the Treasury because the grant framework was gazetted and amended as gazetted. And with the amendments, we are now able to reallocate the money to other provinces. So I don't think that we have a challenge at all. And I think provinces are doing their best, knowing that they may actually forfeit. Honorable Ralhoma, previous financial year, in terms of the old penalty framework, Northwest was the only province ever to lose money last year they lost about 300,000, 330,000 rands. So this year we are still at the stage where we are nudging the provinces. We have withheld money and didn't stop there. We also deployed SRSA managers to those provinces to go try, source the outstanding information and so on. Even in the first quarter, if you remember, there were three provinces that were struggling, and we did send the SRSA managers there, and then ultimately they complied and were able to pay them. And now you can see, even with second quarter, we're still struggling with this three, particularly around their meeting of targets and the submission of portfolios of evidence and every other thing that we need. The danger always is always to push the burden and the baton quite far, because typically what happens is that as soon as the province receives the money, then they relax. They no longer work hard to make up for that. So the single biggest tool you have is not to enjoy actually taking money away from them. It's actually to use withholding as the first important tool, because then they can always get their money later. But you withhold first. The DORA gives us the possibility of withholding this money up to 90 days. Now, we do withhold it, and during that 90 days, we do dispatch SRSA managers to the provinces to try sort them out. And you can see with the ministerial intervention, we have appointed two managers for Northwest. Northwest has always been a problem. We had appointed two managers, the CFO as well as Ms. Kinet Musenuchi, and they've been working in that province to try help the province make up and meet the shortfalls. And as you can see, for the first time in this term, that the Northwest is not counted among the three provinces that have not made up their targets and everything. And I think that is an important issue to note in this regard. So with Eastern Cape, Limpopo, as well as Mpumalanga, we are supporting them. Yesterday, we had a headcom, and I also had a session, a one-on-one with the acting HOD of Limpopo, and we spoke at length about what they need to do to make up for all of this. So we will help them to make up. So we are not worried that the money may not be paid to them. In as far as the national federations, I think perhaps, Honorable Bergman, the challenge is that at the time I explained this, you had not yet entered the room. But in essence, the issue is a misalignment of financial years. But however, because the expectation is that they ought to give us all their documentation for funding at the beginning of the financial year, that's why the AG uses the language that, say, calls it non-compliance. However, they ultimately comply. We are not worried, because we have seen it over the last 6 years. It happens exactly like that. The federations that go to their AGMs in June, by July, they have adopted their reports, they have passed resolutions that are necessary, they are submitting their business plans to us, and so on, and we are paying them. And there are others whose financial year is exactly the calendar year, January 1st to 31 December. And those are the remainder that you normally see us paying them in January, February, some of them as late as March, depending on how quickly they have supported. Have we been proactive about this? Yes. Two measures really in front. First, we do now send staff in federation support to go help smaller NGOs, smaller federations, to prepare for their annual general meetings. That's important to us, because without that, there will be no funding for them. And we say so primarily because the smaller federations are run by volunteers. And with it, I want to answer the question around skills development that Honorable Abrahams is raising in respect of the federation. The small ones are run by volunteers. They don't have full-time staff members in office. They have nothing like that. So when you ask them to meet these obligations, Often they have to do this after hours. They knock off, they do this, and they have been told that, no, you are the treasurer, you must see to finish with the financial information. In other instances, they don't even have bookkeeping services. Even the size and the size, the population of the transactions they do in a year are quite minimal. And often than not, they even have a sole single supplier. Like in South Africa, the manufacturer of the canoeing boats, it will be just one. And they buy only from that person. The pedals, what, everything is one supplier, you know. So they do like two payments a year, and that's about it. And then they pay for a national championship, suppliers here, there. So you find the treasurer is capable of doing the books. The issue is time. And when do they get the time to do that? And ultimately, when do they sit and adopt that as their annual report? And because the treasury regulations and the PFMA insist that when we do the transfers, these people must be audited, we are now required to have them have registered auditors give us their audited financial statements and all of those type of things. So really, that's where we are. So it's not easy with those federations, and more so their turnover is quite high. Leadership changes from time to time in these federations. There's a few federations where you see the same people and same faces quite more frequently for a long time. So the right people to train actually in federations are not necessarily the office bearers, meaning the president or the secretary of the federation or that. Those are not necessarily them. You need to train the staff who actually work and do this thing. And then that's an investment because they do it for good. I mean, in a term of office of 3 years, by the time you finish the training, they are going again to elections, and half of them don't come back. So you always have this challenge with the federation. The best way is that our federation support unit must be capacitated enough to help the smaller federation do what they have to do. And that's exactly what we are doing with that. In as far as the issue of compensation is concerned, yes, Honorable Bergman, priority posts were identified. They were advertised in phase one. We are now going to phase two of advertising the next set of priority posts. And we are filling them, and the new minister filled all the critical posts that were there, that had been identified, and the ones that even the AG had briefed the committee about. Minister, amongst her first duties, she finalized the appointment of a chief audit executive and all the other prescribed positions. So yes, we have done that. Did we do a skills audit in this regard? Yes, we did. We have completed it. It's the basis on which we have adopted a new organogram and all of that, and the critical posts have been identified. Treasury itself has also ring-fenced some money, particularly for Program 5. For compensation in this regard. So yes, that we are following. The other thing you have raised is on the spot awards. The spot awards are there, and indeed we are still reliant on funding from sponsors. You would recall that when the awards were done in this way with so many categories and every other thing, the cost was quite huge. We have over the years attempted to reduce the cost. We have set ourselves a target 3 years ago to reduce the cost to range of 15 million and to reduce it to 10 million and to below there. We are now proud. We can inform you that we have reduced the cost now. The awards now are sitting at 8.8 million and we are still striving to cut further. In fact, we had wanted to cut more this year, but Minister directed that she still knew and she wants to understand first the awards and see how they go, and then we can brief her properly again next year, and she can look at to infuse her own essence into the awards and for us to see what we can enhance better and what we can do without. So really that's where we are with the process, but we are committed to taking the costs as much down as possible. Obviously, one of the biggest cost drivers remains the prices that we pay. And I think we have done a lot on the other side to reduce costs on production. Obviously, once you enter that realm of cheap stuff and every other thing, you know what happens, and I'm sure you have seen a portion of it starting to happen. Awards of this magnitude and at this scale, and if we compare ourselves actually with other awards, about 4 years ago, you would recall that we did a comparative study of where we are financially vis-a-vis what awards of a similar nature do cost. And we are fairly the cheapest amongst all of these things, but the danger is quality. It's what you ultimately end up with. And would you want to honor your best athletes and your best everybody who struggle so much with funding and every other thing, and you honor them in a mediocre ceremony and actually you don't give them anything significant? So I think those are the choices we are sitting with. And there's been questions around the number of sport awards available and whether shouldn't we match some of them or shouldn't we find ways of collaborating with all of this. Number of categories. Everyone is demanding a category, I can tell you now. There's still with so many categories in this awards. I mean, most awards are an hour. They have like maximum 10 categories. Our show now has transcended, it's becoming 3 hours. And so you can imagine that we have too many categories. And we have now decided even to start lapping them. You see, we present like 2 hours at a go. Otherwise, you don't finish. And that's why we even decided this year that the house band must actually cut people who speak for a long time. It's a polite way of saying keep quiet. Also, but that in itself, you have to relook the entire ecosystem of the awards and its basis and decide on whether you are doing well or not doing well. And I think we have had the criticism previously that the award seemed quite extravagant and everything with crazy prize money, like $1 million for a people's choice, $1 million for a sports star, this, that, Mercedes-Benz, and this, that. We have tried to trim all the fat and all of those type of things and to bring the cost in check. So, however, there is no better way of doing it. You still have got to fly people around. You have panels that must sit. You have this, that. You pay for this. So everything remains necessary, and the process is quite long now because the rule book involves infusing provinces and getting provinces in. Many of the provinces are not capacitated. Well, already now, it's early days for them. We are spending a lot on their own branding and on every other thing that they need to do. So yeah, I think the commitment is to reduce the cost. I think that is what we can say to the committee. We are quite committed to reducing the cost. Yes, there is the SABC, but let's face it, SABC is a public broadcaster. Ideally, yes, the awards under normal circumstances must sit with them. But I think it's a conversation we need to have about the state of the public broadcaster and the fact that it has no money. And so, and therefore, what they are supposed to do, they are not doing. And that will kill our brand ultimately. We could count a total of 27 adverts, just 27, in the entire month leading, on all their platforms, by the way, in the entire month leading to the sport awards. So they have done a bad job from promoting this awards. From a quality of production point of view, they have taken shortcuts. And the number of cameras they need to deploy on stage, they have taken shortcuts. The number of the teleprompters you are supposed to have, we had agreed with them on 2. You see, that's what you do. You put 2. You put 1 on the left and 1 on the right. And a person reading that thing can read 1. So that if 1 collapses, you can always rely on that, because everybody knows that the teleprompters have a challenge of the scroll and the reel and everything. And that's what you have seen there. They had 1. And when it dies, there's no backup and there's nothing. It's an issue of a low budget scenario, of low costs. Of course, all of us are in a belt tightening mode, but would you imagine if the awards were being done by Supersport? What would we be sitting with? A because last year, actually this year, Gauteng approached us to say, can they work with SuperSport? And we said, all right, try. And they did. In fact, the quality of the production of the awards were better than the national awards. So I'm just saying. So I think while the political choices may be that we must stick with SuperSport, but with SABC as a public broadcaster, the real considerations of what we can achieve with SuperSport is much greater. I can just give you another example. SuperSport says that if we give them the awards, they are going to go to their other platforms, like the DSTV. They'll get us the people in the movies and what and so on. They'll get the high-profile people. We don't have to pay for that. They'll get the people in e-entertainment and all of that. They'll bring stars from the U.S. and all over the world and from the African continent to come be part of the audience and be part of the people issuing awards and all of those type of things. Last year when they were pushing to say, give us this awards, they were also saying they are bringing Usain Bolt and he will anchor the awards and we don't have to pay for it as government. But you can imagine what that does to the brand of the sport awards itself. And then cumulatively, imagine the type of sponsors now we start attracting as a result of that. And then that is a gateway for us to even no longer talk even about the 8.8 million. Then the awards will start paying for themselves. We won't have to worry about that. But it is the caliber of what happens there and the type of production and whether big brands would say, I want to be associated with this. And I think that's the whole narrative about it. We have to look at that seriously. The issue of SABC is a challenge. We must revisit that. I think that's the point. Honorable Musi, Idols is not recreation in the sense of what e-sports are about. Sport and recreation, the recreation side of us say that we must be interested in recreation that exerts physical activity on the body. So bird watching, yes, other people call it recreation. That's not us. And dance and other things, that's art and culture. We leave it to them. Song and singing, art and culture, it's not us. But we have allowed former Minister Mbalula, after a huge lobby and a fight by these people who do ballroom dancing and all of those, they call themselves, in order to satisfy the requirements, they call themselves Dance Sport South Africa. And then they said they are a sport. And they argued that, no, they'll have clubs and membership and they fought very hard. They said we want in, and when we were refusing, they said, how do we allow the fitness industry? One of their genres, they do like artistic fitness, and they do like hip-hop and all of those things, and the people who spin and do contortions on the floor and all of that, and they do splits and break dance and all that, but they are like a sub-genre of the fitness federation. And then the dance sport argued, why do you allow that genre? Because once it's under this federation, it benefits financially. Why do you allow them? Because they are a form of dance. They are a hip-hop and all of this. And then you refuse us in ballroom dancing and rumba and cha-cha. And they said that, in fact, some of their dances, like the foxtrot and what, are more high intensity and high tempo than some of the dances we see that side. And after lots of arguments, Minister Mbalula said, all right, you are a recognized sport body. So they are there. They get funding, but they are in Category C. They are not a priority group in South Africa, but they get administration funding and every other thing. But we'll be stretching it too far because there was even a proposal that Miss South Africa is recreation. And now we sports and recreation must fund Miss South Africa, I mean, in all fairness. There's a line we must draw. Working on that stage does not result in really, you know, being fit and all of this and so on. So our definition of recreation ends with where you exert physical activity on the body. And then if you do any of those and you are to sweat, then we are interested. That's the thing. But Idols, it won't work for us that much. But idols must try art and culture. And even them, they know it. They never invite our minister to the opening or to the finals of IDOL, they invite Minister Natim Tato because they know that that is their minister, of people who hold the microphone. Ours is not. So on the issue of basketball South Africa, Honorable, Boxing South Africa, Honorable Ralkhoma, we are interacting with Boxing South Africa. We are now waiting for their request to the minister formally to look at the issue of the baseline. We are finalizing our inputs to the treasury and we are looking at that. So certainly we are interacting with them. We too are putting an eye on their finances. We have seen that they aren't collecting enough revenue and so therefore they are running short. Their cash flow is quite tight. We have helped them. The CFO has been liaising with their CFO as well, trying to ease and help them on their cash flow challenges. We have also agreed that we will support them to fight the promoters that are not paying what is due to Boxing South Africa, and that that be the case, and that with the support of the department, we help them raise the required revenue. Obviously, as it would be like any other prodigal son or child, if they go astray, unfortunately, it will come back to bite us. So, and it has happened before. So, we don't want it to arrive there, and that's why we are intervening, and we have actually started intervening in from the first court. Once we realized that they were struggling with collecting revenue, we started intervening back then, and we have helped them curtail a lot of things. For instance, in the second quarter, we refused that they proceed with the boxing hours. We said that they must just recognize and do their rankings and finish, but no ceremony, nothing, and then they can take the nominations and bring them to the main spot hours. And that's why you saw for the first time people like Heki Butler were nominated, boxers featured prominently among the nominees in that. Unfortunately, it didn't win. So was Olenited and so on. And so even in the Lifetime Achievement Award, Boxing South Africa had nominated and the panel had agreed that Stan Christondilo, who ran the old Boxing and Wrestling Commission of South Africa, should be nominated. So I think that's where we are. We have curtailed some of their core programs unless they have the money for it, so that they don't overspend on their vote and they are not weighing the rate. So we are looking at that. It's not ideal to cancel programs, but if you don't have money for it, you don't proceed and buy. It's only me, when I was at the Youth League, I know that that's what we used to do. We used to run a rally and we booked stage, sound, buses and everything, and on Monday we switch off our phones because the suppliers now want their money. In government you can't do that thing. You can't run it that way, like a spaza shop. You must only spend on what you afford. That's it. That's a principle. And if you don't have money for it, don't proceed with it. I think it's as simple as that, where we are sitting. Then on litigation, Honorable Ralkhoma, yes, we didn't choose. We hardly ever take anyone to court. But those who take us to court, we have every right to defend ourselves, because we will not be a department that they walk over, that people file at court and we don't oppose, and default judgments are granted against us and we have to pay a lot of costs and a lot of everything and so on. And also, when the authority of the minister is put under challenge, often we must defend the minister's powers. Otherwise, then you lose those powers by court order. The powers granted to you at law are taken away by a court of law. That's not right. So you have to defend those powers. You can't just allow them to go willy-nilly. So we have been taken to court by Solidarity. It's working with Freedom Front Plus and as well as AfriForum. And the reason we say that, although it's Solidarity that took us to court, but we know, we have seen the statement that AfriForum and so Freedom Front Plus have issued in support of that court order, and we also know that all three parties have met us and have also written to us raising the same thing. So they are in cahoots on this matter. So Solidarity is just happening to finance this. We are defending ourselves. The case is not a new case. It started last year. Last financial year, we paid the initial amount to the lawyers to file the necessary papers. Now we have just finished the heads of arguments and the closing papers. So we are now going to wait for a shutdown. We have already spent a lot of money. These other four federations have been taken to court together with the Minister of Sport, not because of their choice, but because they entered into an agreement with the department over the issue of transformation. So as a result, we can't say the federations must fend for themselves. So we have had to give them grants to be able to defend themselves and also for ourselves to defend ourselves. So unfortunately, this thing is diverting a lot of resources away from the work we need to be doing. But we obviously can't let it go that easily. We are fighting it. We will wait for a shutdown. When that shutdown does occur, the arguments will happen and the case will be argued and we will hear what the courts say. But I must forewarn the committee, as I have when the matter started, that our intentions are that should we lose round one, we will go all the way to the Constitutional Court, because there is a precedent in two cases, actually three now. In the Barnard case, the famous Barnard case of police, SAPS versus Barnard, well, it was Solidarity again on behalf of Barnard. SAPS lost the case all step of the way and only won it at the Constitutional Court. When the principle of affirmative action, whether it is indeed racism in reverse, or is it positive discrimination as the Constitution envisaged, and the Constitutional Court agreed, whereas all lower courts have said that it is actually unfair. It was only the Constitutional Court that stemmed the flow and said, it's right. And I think the principles are more or less along the same line, and we intend to go all step of the way in this regard to defend that. Lastly, it was the issue raised by Honorable Ndlovu. Honorable Ndlovu, yes, indeed, violence is one of the solutions we are pursuing. As the CFO reported, we are pursuing it with the Treasury to try and assist us to achieve that violence. We will now handle it as an administrative matter with the Treasury in this regard. I think I've answered all the questions.
Thank you, TG. I was worried this past one, you know, Mweba. Do you have food today?
Mm-hmm.
Honorable members, I'm still going to give minister and I'm suspecting there are those who cannot do without having their lunch. It's past one now. And we know that our DG cannot just be short because want to answer all the questions. If it's short by nature, but in the work is doing like this, some of us we do appreciate. I'm seeing the hand. I don't know, Honorable Bergman, whether you don't take what I'm saying about time, but let me give you the chance to ask follow-up question.
Chair, thanks very much. It's not a question, it's more a statement that I think what we have to get to in the point of the sports awards is that we're coming to a situation where the sports person has to feel like this is their party, that this is about them, that the focus is on the sports person. And from my side, I've watched it transform. I went to the one 5 years ago under Minister Mbulula, and I've been to this one, and the cream cropping and all that is justified, or even spending more is justified if it's going towards the sports people. But what you're measuring your sports people on is important. And how you get the community involved is important. So I know you run a lot of advertisements around trying to pick and nominate your winners and trying to infuse people into voting and that. But Honorable Musi mentions idols. Maybe he's onto something. Maybe we should run something according to an idols format, an SMS format. So you get the cell phone companies involved. and you have this competition, and the categories, there has to be a women's category, women's team, men's team, women's individual, men's individual, disability, men disability, you know, exactly the same things, but they shouldn't be competing for the same spots. You can't have an individual competing with Banyana Banyana or Bafana Bafana, whatever the case may be, when they're bringing in different capability. And importantly for us is, what are we measuring? As I say, we should be looking at most popular sportsperson, most highest earner sportsperson, person that generates the most fans, teams that have had the most stadiums filled. You know, try to infuse people towards something that actually sounds, if we know that there's a team that keeps on drawing a crowd that fills the stadiums, no matter where they go in South Africa, they're filling stadiums, we should give them a prize and incentivize the rest of the country to follow suit with that team, to try and get them to do exactly the same or beat their formula in getting more attendance at stadiums. What was missing, though, was school athletes. You recognize schools in that, but trying to say the most, you know, you want to do it in a positive way, but the person that, you know, the Wade van die Kerks and the people that have come from previously disadvantaged areas and have made it, that have almost become millionaires overnight, we should incentivize that as well. We should be making examples of people like that, to say, this is a role model that you can aspire to. You can be in the most rural area, in the most corner of the earth, but there's an opportunity that if you do that, and then how you bring the crowd in is by people can vote whether you're living in that rural area, in that village somewhere in Limpopo, or you're living in the city of Johannesburg. You can send one SMS, if it's a free SMS or it's a tweet or it's a Twitter, whatever, you can nominate for that person, or you know, the spectator of the year. But all that was missing from my side was that a lot of that time should have been focused on those sports people in the categories that mattered the most. And I just think we didn't get that. People don't understand how they became the nominee, because they, you know, you're competing an individual against the team. But there's definitely no one, I don't think anyone around this table, doesn't believe that there has to be a sports awards, that there has to be some thank you to our sports people. What we say, and maybe sometimes we differ or we don't, is first it should be a province-up approach, then it should be a national approach, but it should actually all look the same. There should almost be a uniform amount, you know, the uniform prizes, uniform categories, and maybe what we should be doing is taking, you know, we are the, they all feed in to what becomes the national sports awards, and the winners of the provincial awards should be attending these sports awards. So please, DG, don't get the message wrong from our party or from our committee here. No one says that we shouldn't have a sports awards, and no one says that we shouldn't spend on our sports people. It's just about making sure that it is focused on them. And once again, I do thank you for the invitation, and I do thank you for the participation.
Thank you, Honorable Bergman. I'm also happy that as a committee now, we're seeing eye to eye about these awards, and we even contribute. It's worse when maybe we criticize but not contributing what we'd want to see, how these awards, except that when I'm going to give a minister, DG, myself, and the Honorable Darren Homa, we argued out of the meeting after boxing and said, I was saying in a meeting, saying that we appreciated what BSA is coming from, but Auditor General said official, they are not doing well with the finances. So, and I was saying, how can I motivate that they can't account for finances and support you when you are saying that you want them to get more money? So I'm saying this is a committee, and we were not quarreling, but I was saying that I'm worried because Auditor General also, they do give us oversight on us as a committee. When they called us, they will tell us that we are doing well. But I'm saying, I'm appreciating what you are saying, that we are going to assist Boxing South Africa, because you assisted them, you took them and gave them the offices, and they come, they are. But even if it's our CFO, they must assist them not to do what we have reported, and even by the Auditor General. Honorable Minister. Sorry, Honorable. I'm happy that the questions of Mr. Mhlongo and the rest, they have been answered by the Minister. This morning I got the copies of what he has. It was not because of me. The office of the Minister, they've done what Mr. Mhlongo wanted to give it to us. Thank you, Minister, about the responding on those questions. I've seen members show time to me. Apologies.
Thank you very much, Honorable Chair, and thank the Honorable Member. I think most of the issues raised, some of them just like talking about the sports awards, indeed we appreciate feedback. And in some of the instances, it's the fact that we would not have had the opportunity to just take through honorable members, because some of the things are already happening. It's just that now it's reflecting. But in what DG, in terms of the process, was outlining to say, we're going to have our own assessment. We'll incorporate the issues that are raised and look at them as we assess moving forward. But I can assure the honourable members that even in terms of the concern that was raised around what happens at what point do we get in when provinces are not submitting the required reports up to a stage where we have to withhold monies, we are addressing that so that we are also proactive. And at the same time, we also are highlighting it at the level, at the political level, because there's work that is getting done at the administration level. HODs, they seem easy to cooperate when we are sitting together, but it doesn't flow to the MECs, and MECs would not know that their DGs actually do not forward such information, and then they would see it at a later stage. So we making sure that at MINMEC level we highlight it so that we can have our own communication, and I am able to point out to provincial MECs so that they are able to follow their DGs, because whether they submit the information, if it is outside of the reporting period, then it's not assisting us. So we are noting that, and so we want to assure and ensure that we will by all means attend the next week session, because we would really wish that this bill be part of the activity, the program of Parliament starting now. And it will go a long way to assist us, because we also would be able to say out there that this is really seeking to assist us not to have these incidents. Chair will also bring in Digi to assist for tomorrow's presentation on what you want to put in. But I think, just to say, I think of the federations themselves, we are in this continuous dialogue to really look into issues of aligning of our programs and making sure that we are able really to present the bigger picture of what sport and recreation is all about. than the corners where we all are working on. But thank you very much for the opportunity. If anything, honorable members, we are available to fill in every information. Thank you very much.
Thank you, honorable minister, DG, and your staff. Thank you, honorable members. Sorry about your time. The meeting adjourned.
Thank you.